Hey, hey, it's the Pretty Corrupt Podcast, your inside guide to celebrity scandals and the reality of reality TV. I'm Jordan Ross Myers, the man behind Twitter's notorious Don Gunvalson and Lee Radswell, along with my co-hosts Stacey Noel Connor and Nate Safer. Welcome to PCP Pop Culture.
Ahoy!
Hello! Oh, Captain Jordan.
I don't know why I awkwardly start with these greetings all the time, but might as well get it out of the way. I don't know. You'd think at this point I'd have mastered a smooth transition.
No, God, no. It's part of your charm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, and the ahoy is how you and I first met. It's how you reached out to me at first. That's what you first said to me via Lee on Twitter. You said ahoy in a drunkenness, and I sent you back a picture of Lee on a boat, and you were like, I've never seen that picture before. I was like, oh, that's amazing. You didn't even know you were on that boat?
Well, speaking of Lee, I mean, this is an exciting week for us. So I think it starts airing on Wednesday night. Awkwardly, same night as Beverly Hills for our listeners. This Wednesday, the 31st, Ryan Murphy's season 2 of Feud, Capote versus the Swans. The Swans being my patron saint, my guiding star, Princess Lee Radswell. So, I mean, we talked about it last week, and it will start airing this Wednesday. Oh, one thing I do want to say about it, though, they had a premiere party in New York. Did you see? They had the whole cast. It was at the Plaza, which, if you guys don't know, it was Truman Capote in 1968 had the party of the century. It was his black and white ball at the Plaza Hotel, and his not escort, because she had her husband there, but his prize swan of the evening at his side was Lee Radswell. It's been called the party of the century, and it was super duper triple quadruple A-list. Anyways, so besides the cast and stuff, he had a couple housewives. He had Bethany, what a tribute to Lee, and Sonia Morgan, which makes a little more sense, but not Carol Radswell. And that's very odd, very interesting. I bet you she wanted an appearance fee, if I'm going to be honest.
Oh, really?
It occurred to me because I'm like, okay. It occurred to me because I'm like, one of our listeners and followers, Shannon Govani, he's seen it. He's a journalist. He has the media screener.
Yeah.
And he said maybe he works for, I believe, the Toronto Star. Shout out. But he said maybe Carol chose to stay away because it doesn't paint the most flattering portrait of these women. But I just had a thought. I'm like, well, Carol wasn't Lee's daughter. She didn't grow up in the swan world. It's not like it's going to give her flashbacks and ruin childhood memories. Two, she already cashed out and tarnished the name by taking it to Housewives. And Ryan Murphy is a lot more prestigious than Andy Cohen. So my inner Lee is coming
up. Depends on what circles you run in.
Yeah.
What I hear.
But so my thinking is, her being a Radswell with this appearing, she may have viewed it as, oh, he wants me to endorse it. And, you know, if they invite you, they might send a car for you, something like that. But I bet you she was like, this is all, by the way, in my head, but also just from a pattern I've noticed with housewives behind the scenes and business dealings. She may have been like, I'll show up if you give me 50 grand or something. You know, this is essentially an endorsement. So my guess. I'm basically her mother-in-law, so it should be taken. It should be taken hardcore.
Like, yeah, as the truth. I think so. Yeah.
Do you have plenty of room on your DVR to like save these episodes for forever and never and never and ever?
I mean,
did you stock up on lotion and Kleenex?
Diamonds and caviar. I'm a princess. But no, so I don't. So it's just interesting, but it will be exciting, I'm sure. It starts airing this Wednesday. So for the, I don't know how many episodes there are, 5, 7, but it'll be keeping us busy on PCP for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I cannot wait.
I'm excited for the cast. I like the entire cast. I mean, all the actors. So I'm like, I'm excited to see all of them.
Yeah. Should be good. I am. Oh, it is actually, though. Just have to say, it does feel a little bit like an attack because it's all about fake Lee. Now that they're airing it side by side with Beverly Hills as we enter the final stretch. I mean, do you think Ryan Murphy has beef with PCP? That's very
100%.
That's what the feud. Feud season 3, the scheduling conflicts.
Okay, who would you want to play you in Ryan Murphy's feud, PCP versus Ryan Murphy?
Oh God, who would it be? Who would it be? I don't know when I was.
I know who I would have play me. I would have Katherine Heigl play me.
Oh. When I was a bit heavier back in the day, my worst nightmare, sends me. I hated when people were like, oh, like, what's his name? I don't want Jonah Hill playing me. Let's just put it out there.
No.
That.
So many reasons.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. Who could do me justice? I don't know.
Well, I will say for me, I would like to be played by Calista Flockhart. Just a little tie in to Lee. Yeah. I would like her to play both of us.
I think that would be great.
She might need to gain a little bit of weight, but she's an actress. She can do that.
You know, I guess, you know, since we're going with, and I get compared to him all the time, like every time I'm walking down the street, basically, they start yelling, Jacob, Mr. O'Lordy, please stop. I'll let him have a role. He can play me. What else, what else does he have going on in his pathetic little career?
That's true. He could use a little bit of a resurgence, I think. He's kind of dipped.
I think you should have British actor Jason Isaacs play you. I think that's who you should have play you.
Oh, that's
He's playing Cary Grant right now in a
So that would work.
And he's Lucius Malfoy in the Harry Potter movies.
So I think that's really more of what I'm going for is like the Lucius Malfoy.
No, but he should play Jordan with the flowing locks from Harry Potter.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Jeremy Irons played a really good Klaus von Bülow in Reversal of Fortune. So, I mean, he gets my energy. He played Scar.
I mean, if we could get, you know, 40-year-old Jeremy Irons to play you, but then that would work. But
yeah.
I don't think 70-year-old Jeremy Irons works as well.
I love that you just said you just compared your energy to Scar from The Lion King
and Klaus von Bülow.
So and Klaus von Bülow, you gotta.
This is why we never record in studio together. This is why we are always remote.
For everyone's safety purposes.
Yep.
Yeah. Trying to think of who else. We'll save it for later, I guess. I'll be up all night.
I mean, if we'll you figure out another, you just yell it out.
Yeah. What else happened this week, though?
Are you guys ready for the Justin Timberlake Redemption Tour?
Yeah. Nope.
So excited. No.
Do you have your tickets ready?
Yeah. No, I actually already won. He already did that show last week in Memphis. I was there, front row, obviously. Yeah, he's releasing his first album in 5 years. Yeah.
It's been 5 years. I thought it'd been longer.
It's only been 5 years. Well, honestly, this is, I think, his sixth album overall, and they've been getting, like, decreasing quality over the six. Like, the last one he released, like, 5 years ago, not very good. Not very memorable at all. And I think it was like his first one that didn't really chart. So people think he was kind of on the downswing anyway. Mm-hmm. But this one, people are thinking, oh, is it going to be like an introspective, like redemptive thing? Because the name of the album is Everything I Thought I Was. So it's like, oh, is he looking within? Because, you know, a lot of things have come out over the last few years. His first single is called Selfish. So maybe he gets it. I don't know. Probably not. I hate to admit it, not a bad song. I don't know if you guys have heard it. Not a bad song. Not a banger, but it is a bit of a bop. But the funny thing about it is that, so the song is called Selfish, and as soon as he released it, the Britney fans came out, because as they're wont to do, and because they hate him, deservedly so, they went and found a kind of obscure Britney song from her 2011 album, Femme Fatale. It was a bonus track on that album, also called Selfish. And this is not a song that was released as a single or anything. They went and found that song and got it to chart on the iTunes charts. And right now it is charting above the Justin Timberlake new single, which I just think is very funny. If you look at the iTunes, as of today, as of this weekend, the iTunes charts, the Britney Selfish, the song from 2011, is currently number 3 on the charts. And Justin Timberlake's new single is number 4. So... score one for the Britney fans.
Well, and the Britney fans did a second burn on JT too, because there is, what are these balloons? There's not a music video for Britney's Selfish, because it's such an obscure track and there isn't, but there is a video for his. And so because they're kind of hand in hand, that video for him is number 1 on the charts. But so since she doesn't have one for that, they found Oops, I Did It Again and made that one the number 1 video to make it above his. Yeah. So the Britney fans were like, we're going to make it work somehow that she is above him no matter what.
He's just the worst, man. I don't even... I mean,
he was on SNL this weekend. I didn't watch because he annoyed
yes,
me.
And that was a... that was also problematic because, you know, his history of the things he does to women, like Janet Jackson, when he made her take the fall. And then all the stuff that's come to light about, I mean, he apologized for stuff he did to Britney before her book came out. And then the book obviously did not paint him in a great light. So his, you know, the things he does around women. And then last night, people really kind of jumped on him. Dakota Johnson was the host of the SNL this weekend. He was the musical guest, but he ended up like just outstaging her. Like it seemed like he was in more skits than her. When she was doing her monologue, he came out to like great applause. It's like he was just trying to take over, which is, you know, given his reputation with women, it's not the best look that he would do that.
It's not surprising either.
No, in no way surprising. None.
I'm looking at the lyrics for Selfish and oh my God. Like, because your lips were made for mine and my heart would go flatline if it wasn't beating for you all the time. So if I get jealous, I can't help it. I want every bit of you. I guess I'm selfish. It's bad for my mental, but I can't fight it. When you're out looking like you do, but you can't hide it. No. But you would frame, ooh, baby, who could blame you? Glad your mama made you. Making me insane. You cannot be explained. Ooh, you must be an angel. This is just like... this is not any growth whatsoever, because is a woman as an object and she must be mine. Mm-hmm. She only belongs to me. That's all these lyrics are.
It sounds to me like a knockoff of, not Joe, who's the little Jonas? The one married to Priyanka. Nick. It reminds me of that song, Jealous. Still get jealous. Yeah. Except I'll listen to a Jonas Brother. I'm not listening to Justin Timberlake very much. So
I think that Justin Timberlake is very overrated. Always has been. I think he's as good as his production on his albums. Like when I said that they've been getting lesser quality over the years, his first album, Justified, had some absolute bangers on it. Mm-hmm. But that was mostly Pharrell and Chad Hugo of the Neptunes producing it. The second album, Future Back Love Sounds, that was Timbaland. Mm-hmm. So... and those are almost all of his hit. Then he had the 2020 experience, had like one or two hit. He's he's all producer. He's, you know, I mean, he's fine. He can dance, he can sing, sure. But I bet those producers could have made any, they could have made, Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC could have been this with the right production, mm-hmm. is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine what
JC. No offense, Chris Kirkpatrick, by the way. I think JC was supposed to be that. Like, if you go back and look at the NSYNC, he was supposed to be that.
So imagine if he'd had the Neptunes producing his debut solo album. If he had Timbaland doing his album, like, that would have been amazing. So, mm-hmm. yeah. But mm-hmm. now JT got, I mean, don't get me wrong. I listened to Rock Your Body like way too many times. That song was
great. Oh, God. No, Justified has so many bangers on that album.
So many
bangers. Yeah. It's basically if Pharrell had produced a Michael Jackson album, it's basically the mm-hmm. entire thing they were going for.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%. Mm. Anyway, yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, just fuck him. It's going to be my closing statement for the Justin Timberlake, is that guy can
fuck. Oh, good. We were going to say the same thing. So perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
mm-hmm. So on YouTube, I subscribe to a couple of fashion channels. So I get to see the wonderful runway shows like a day or so after. So I've been watching a lot of the Paris Fashion Week mm-hmm. shows on YouTube, which I love. I love watching it. But it was interesting to see all the hullabaloo over Kylie being at whichever show it was, which is funny because I only care about the actual Gaultier. Show, like what's happening on the...
It was Jean-Paul Gaultier, which I thought was just... I know the cologne, the perfume, you know, that famous bottle. It's like blue.
That's all you know? You don't know like the whole like... Oh my God. Like,
I'm
like,
not actually.
He became famous because Madonna's cone bra.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I always associate Jean-Paul Gaultier that he did all the outfits in The Fifth Element. Like, he basically designed every outfit in the movie The Fifth Element, which is very, if you're looking for, like, what is the best way to describe Jean-Paul Gaultier? It's look at Gary Oldman's character in The Fifth Element. That is him.
Yeah, yeah, I just
is he still with look, us? Is Jean-Paul Gaultier still alive?
He is still with us. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just know the blue bottle cologne.
Things for a bit, but that's not what, as bad as John Galliano, though.
That was
Galliano. No, John Galliano absolutely said questionable things. Yeah.
Yeah, but Jean-Paul Gaultier. I mean, it's hard to run a couture house. It's very expensive. Like, you basically don't really make money off of it. But yeah, I mean, Jean-Paul Gaultier first came into the zeitgeist with, I forget exactly which tour, maybe it was the Who's That Girl tour from Madonna, but when she, basically the whole like cone breast, the mm-hmm. bustier things, like when those happened, like that's, mm-hmm. that was Jean-Paul Gaultier, and he did so many of her costumes for so many years. So he did that and then also had his own fashion house. So yeah. But anyway, but Kylie Jenner, people are saying that she looks like she's 40 years old, which is mm-hmm. an insult to 40-year-olds.
So. Yeah, that kind of hurt a little bit.
She's what, 26?
I think she looks good. Is she? God, that makes me feel old.
I know. That's
because I mean, I still remember. It seems pretty recently when there was that online, the internet countdown clock to her turning 18, because that's a creepy thing that people mm-hmm. still do. I remember when that people doing that countdown clock for the Olsen twins to turn 18.
Yeah.
Really fucking creepy.
It seems like Kylie,
yeah,
maybe.
So she's already 26.
Maybe because we've known her, she's been in the public eye since a kid. It seems so long. The family's been out there for so long. I thought she was in her 30s at this point. I don't know. But no, she's only 26. And she's been working on softening her image a bit, softening her style. So, like, here she was mm-hmm. wearing this, like, long, flowy dress with relaxed hair. Was it minimal makeup? I don't know the ticks and trips of that, but it wasn't bright. It was very muted.
It's a more natural look mm-hmm. of makeup. But muted is a good word for that. She seems to have let some of her fillers go, whether she's dissolved
them.
Yeah,
she's talked about that.
Or not. I mean, she says she let her lip fillers. No, she's still doing her lip fillers. She's just... Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of the Kardashians are changing their look from their very like overfilled trying to fill this very like hip hop type of look that mm-hmm. they were going for. And they were getting criticized for that too. Like, look, do whatever, but you know, change their body and everything like that. And now they're swinging the other way, the pendulum swinging the other way. This is why I go, just don't do plastic surgery based on a trend. That's my opinion. If you're doing plastic surgery, do it based on how you feel about yourself and like what you need to do to feel good about yourself. Don't do plastic surgery based on a trend or what's trending right now, because I think the Kardashians are a perfect example of doing that, of mm-hmm. plastic surgery and fillers and that stuff as a trend. And then, but they have the money to fix it up to a point, because you can only fix it so long. Like, because also those fillers, like Kylie's been getting fillers since she was young. Even though she denies it, but she still, we all know that she has. Like, I'm sorry, don't piss on my head and then tell me it's raining. Like, girl, you've been getting fillers. Like, but it stretches out your skin. And so she's only 26 and she's like been stretching out her skin. And I think that's why people are kind of like, she looks like she's 40, because in a sense, the elasticity on her skin is getting tested. And it's a quality that just starts to happen, and it's not something that people, there's a plumpness that's not there anymore, I think, because she's losing volume mm-hmm. because of losing her fillers and not letting her face age naturally. That's my opinion. Yeah.
Do fillers, no, fillers aren't permanent, right? So it's, what I'm saying is has it been she had them removed or she chose not to renew them? Like have them redone?
Well, it could be both. Mm-hmm. You have to have them redone because they're quote unquote not permanent. However, there's been a lot of research lately and some evidence showing that they don't completely go away, that you can have fillers and you can have them quote unquote dissolved and you cannot get them for years. And then they'll have people do MRIs and stuff. And the fillers will still, they will have not had fillers for like 5, 10, 12 years. Mm-hmm. And there's still fillers sitting in their face in places. Yeah. It may not necessarily show up 100%, but it, like in their externally, but it's still that hyaluronic acid still sitting in your face. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's not something that your body necessarily metabolizes completely and ejects like Botox. So it is, I would say it's more of a semi, in my opinion, this is just my opinion. It seems to be at the moment more of a semi-permanent solution. Mm. You'll get it in, it'll change things. It may not 100% go away with time or with dissolving it. So you need to make sure when you're doing it that you really want to do it in those places. And also people get places in the wrong, like putting it in your cheeks. If you want to add more volume to your cheeks, just get cheek implants. Get cheek implants. Like it's just so easy, yes. Get cheek implants.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a certain thing, like the fillers should be used in certain areas and other people are using them in areas where it doesn't need to be used, where it can like, you don't want to stretch out the skin on your cheeks and then stop getting fillers and have it fall down. Like,
yeah.
Or you don't want to get it in your jaw necessarily and then all of a sudden it stops working and you've got jowls. Like if you're worried about jowls, save up the money and get a lower facelift. Because that'll take care of it. Like that'll be worth all your money right there.
And I remember Carol Radswell said on that, this isn't anything that related. Just, I remember a mark she made on Housewives because, you know, she was dating Adam or whatever, and she was in her 50s and he was whatever. But she looked great. And she said, the thing is Botox and fillers, they make everyone who uses them a homogenized 35. That was her joke. She was like, at the time Lindsay Lohan was in her late 20s, she was in her 50s. She's like, we all just kind of look vaguely 35 when we use it. And I think because Kylie Jenner is on the younger side and has been using it since she was so young, it does age you. Like if I see mm-hmm. someone's had work done, even if it looks great, I automatically assume they look great for their age. They're older and have pulled it back a little. So mm-hmm. yeah, it gives it away. So like
there's also something to be said for quote unquote perfection, which I think they're going for. I don't know. I keep doing hand gestures. You guys can't see this, but I keep doing hand gestures, and then all of a sudden balloons will fly up.
I do something and it looks like a...
It's more for the listeners because they can't see it.
Yeah.
But like balloons will fly up, or I'll do something in a thumbs up and a thumbs up will fly up in a bubble. I'm like,
this is a lot of fun for me. Yeah.
How do I turn this off? I don't want these happening. Anyway, but like, it's like with AI pictures and things like that. We all like, even if an AI picture is really good, we somehow know it's not real. And it's because of the perfection of the picture. As a human being, we're used to seeing imperfections. And that's how we recognize that something is real. Something is not real if it's too perfect, because nature is imperfect. Mm-hmm. And so we expect imperfections. So I think there's also something that sometimes with Kim and Kylie, any of the Kardashians, but also like anybody who over Photoshops their face or does too much, that we kind of go, oh, wait a minute. They're too symmetrical. They're too perfect. There's something wrong here. And that's also kind of the feeling I'm getting, like looking at her. I'm like, wait a minute. There's something a little too quote unquote perfect. And it's unsettling. Yeah. It's unsettling to human beings to see something that perfect. We're kind of like, that's not right. You know, it's like, I don't think so.
Her style's also changed a lot since she started dating Timothée. Chalamet. And I don't know if she's just like actively wants to fit in better with that crowd, but it seems like she's not tamed down, but it does seem like she's wearing more minimalistic, like all black and things that she didn't used to wear. And I don't know if she's
a little less Calabasas, a little more Paris Fashion Week.
This is what I would say. Let's take it all in that all of the Kardashian Jenner women, I mean, I think with the exception of Kendall, because I never know who she's dating or anything like that, but they all seem to run away bright it, like with the whoever they're dating. They seem to take on the personality, the culture, the style, the fashion of whoever they're dating, whatever world that person lives in. And so like they retain their own Kardashian-ness. I would say that Kendall and Mama Kris are kind of the only people who don't seem to do that, because Kris is just like, fuck it, I own this shit. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, Kourtney, everything changed when she started dating Travis. You know, Kylie changed when she started dating Tyga, and then it changed. You know, it changed again, changed again. Chloe's has changed who she's dating. Kim's has definitely changed depending on who she's dating. So yeah, I would agree that, but I don't think it's necessarily, I think it's partially that world, but also just, yeah, they're, in my opinion, how do you like your eggs? Whoever you're dating, that's the runaway briding it. So yeah.
Yeah. So we can all agree that Kylie Jenner looks old enough to be our moms. I like that.
Yeah, I think that's where we all got here.
I think that's what the world's been hinting
at. I think she looks great, by the way.
No, she does. She does look good. It's just off-put.
Does look good, yeah.
Yeah.
But she doesn't look 26. She doesn't look like the 26-year-olds that I know, that I'm friends with. Like,
and it
they have,
it
doesn't, they still help. Have a more youthfulness to them, and she looks older.
She looks hardened.
And it also ages her a bit that her yeah. Well, also her boyfriend looks 12.
Yeah.
So she's going to look older next to him no matter what. He's like aging in reverse, but not in a good way. Like he's like Benjamin buttoning it to the point where he looks like a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
I am like, he just a skinny man. No. No.
Not for you.
He's
not
so skinny. Oh God, there's so, yeah, no. Exactly. Oh. Well, I think we should finish it on just a little sprinkle of astrology here.
Ooh.
I don't have much this week because it's kind of a quiet week for astrology. But because the big thing is, if you felt since the beginning of the year that maybe your New Year's resolutions haven't really started, or the year hasn't really started, you don't feel like things are moving along well. Uranus finally turned direct this past Friday, and now literally all the planets in the heavens are moving forward. And so this is a time everything's moving forward. There's nothing holding you back, people. So if you're like, oh, Mercury's not a retrograde. Mercury will not go retrograde until April 1st, April Fool's Day. So if you've been wanting to start something, like if you're like, I haven't gotten on my diet yet or my exercise or my financial budget or this or this or this, now's the time. Start to do it. Plant those seeds. Start doing it. You got everything. You got the stars and the wind at your back. Let's get it done. So this is the time. So you got until April 1st to get those seeds planted to start doing it. Let's get it done, people. And then the second thing is that on Monday, February 5th, Mercury will move into Aquarius and it'll conjunct Pluto there. So everybody's been talking about Pluto moving into Aquarius. Yes, even I've been talking about that. But Mercury will meet up with it, with Pluto there. And that's the first time that Mercury and Pluto will have been conjunct together in 248 years in Aquarius, sign of Aquarius. So we're starting a new era of a lot of, like, you could have some news. I'm going to speak generally because I don't know people's charts, so I can't necessarily tell you exactly what you might hear or anything like that. But we could really hear some, like, we could hear some new fun news about, like, AI, like some new technological breakthrough, because Aquarius is kind of about technology, the future, science, social networks, things like that. So you could hear something new about that. We also could hear something new and groundbreaking about science. Like, there could be a new discovery from the James Webb telescope about our universe. There could be a cancer, you know, research discovery, things like that. So kind of be on the lookout in the next, you know, the week of, I would say, February 5th for, like, something, a couple of days leading up to that. Yeah. I would also say when I spoke the last episode about Mercury and Mars coming together, and maybe you had explosive words, or people had explosive words for you, or something crazy came up, you found out something really interesting and it happened over the weekend. Let me know. I had something unexpected happen. I was like, oh, it took me about 24 hours to realize, oh, this is my Mercury and Mars. I was like, okay, this is what was going to happen. So anyway, but yeah, that's all I have for this upcoming week. Basically, January 30th through February 5th, since we go out on Tuesday. So yeah.
Hearing that Mercury goes into retrograde on April 1st, April Fool's Day, I think it's important to let our listeners know to start getting their posts ready and saving them in drafts, because it is going to be trending that day. Mm-hmm. It's like,
And decide what April Fool's joke you want to place on people, how you want to make it happen, all of that stuff. I will say this, a real quick, like, caveat to Mercury in retrograde. Look, people talk about it all the time. It is important, but Mercury goes retrograde 3 to 4 times a year. So Mercury is retrograde basically a quarter of the year. You can't avoid it, and stuff happens. So life happens. So don't get too worried about things. Like, some people freak out and, like, you can't stop your life, you can't stop your world. Just be aware of it and take your time. That's what I say with Mercury retrograde. Take your time. Don't rush things with Mercury retrograde. That's really what Mercury retrograde is trying to teach us. Don't rush things. Take our times with things. So
proceed with caution.
And that's what I got. Okay. Well, with some things, yes. You know, yeah.
On that note, you know what you should not move slowly about? In fact, you should rush manically over to Pretty Corrupt Podcast. Make sure to rate, subscribe, review, and follow. Share with everyone you love, hate, in between. And of course, we're on TikTok and Instagram at Pretty Corrupt Podcast, Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One. And of course, we have 2 episodes each week, so make sure to listen to the Bravo Breakdown as well. It came out today also. And we will see you next episode. 'Cause